What's going on YouTube? Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam, and welcome to the watch along. We're doing another watch along this evening. You're absolutely right. That needs to change, doesn't it? There we go. There we are, busy watching the game, and what a goal, Sam, from Gundogan.
Absolutely outstanding goal.
Top corner, top bins. Yeah. Very, very good indeed. Strike from Gundogan. Really, really good. As most of you will know, I'm sure, because it has been mentioned once or twice on Twitter this weekend, I've triple captained Kevin De Bruyne. It has been mentioned. I think a few people mentioned it on Twitter. No, it's kind of keeping my cards close to my chest. But I'm obviously pretty heavily invested in this game. A bit less so than Man City in Man City defensively, because Cancelo benched, guys. If you've got Cancelo, sad times because Foden tripped up on his way in. Foden on, incidentally, for the last half an hour of the game.
That would have been another Kevin assist.
Well, yeah. So lots to discuss in this game, guys. Lots to discuss. We're going to do a watch along. We're going to be talking about how this game has gone. And of course, we'll spend a bit of time talking about double game week 19 and how it's gone for us so far and some of the key talking points. Because although, well, certainly my team hasn't really come alive yet. I'm still waiting for the big points to roll in, but lots of talking points. We've got Antonio to talk about.
Oh, right. We've got... Just a minute.
Go on.
Just for Antonio.
Go on.
He deserves just a minute on his own. Nothing.
Just Antonio.
He just deserves a minute of, like, absolute...
Well, it's great to see him back in the game, right? And I think for weeks and weeks and weeks, we said as soon as he comes back and he's fit, he's 6 point whatever he is, he's going to be on everyone's radar. And here we are sitting here. I expect that he'll start in the next game because he got through the previous game pretty well, didn't he? Got through the Burnley game pretty well, so
seemed
I'd expect
right at the
him
end,
to
didn't
start.
He, as well, in his interview, didn't
and
seem
he seemed
to be
okay.
struggling or anything
and he seemed
like
okay.
That.
A quick question for you, though, Sam, before we get on to City and we start talking about what's going on in this game.
Sorry if we're not looking at you. The TV's right above the camera.
That's a good point. So if it looks like we're looking past the camera, that's because the TV is directly behind the
you
camera.
Might see
guys.
It
so that, if we're not being rude, we're just sort of looking past you guys. First question, Sam. Did Ndombele mean that today?
Oh, yeah.
What a goal, by the
Seriously?
Way.
Seriously?
What a goal.
I mean, if he didn't mean it, then it is
Kevin just wiped.
If he
did. Come on, Kev.
Stop it, Kev. Sit down.
Come on, Kev.
If he didn't mean it, it was brilliant. If he's meant that, it is possibly the best goal I've ever watched.
Do you know what? It's one of those where...
Just say you mean it.
He doesn't look up, does he? He doesn't look up. So in my mind, he doesn't even have a look at the goal. So I think that he's just hooking it back because Reguilon was coming in. I think he spotted Reguilon coming in. He's been like, all right, if I can hook it back, maybe Reguilon gets on the end of this. If he's meant it, it's one of the best goals of the year. It's an absolutely sensational goal. Just quickly before we get to City, Spurs, routine victory today. Happy with that? Good win?
Yeah.
I would say
a bit disappointed to concede the goal. I think we played much better today. And what I was pleased to see from both a Spurs point of view and an FPL point of view is that we actually did, I know it was against Sheffield United, but we did push on today. Like, we scored that first goal and we didn't immediately go, oh, let's defend for 85 minutes or whatever it would have been. They did actually go seeking more goals. And, you know, Son had one off the post. Kane missed one in the 90th
at the end,
minute,
right?
And
Son to Kane, wasn't it?
I've got no idea how that's not... Like, even Harry, he just laughed. It was almost... It was laughable that he's missed it.
It was interesting the way the game panned out, though, because 1-0 up within a few minutes, so straight away you're like, it's going to be a long afternoon, this, for Sheffield United. Straight away within, like, 5 minutes or something, isn't it? And then it kind of... The game evened out a little bit and Sheffield United just started to creep back into it. And then they give the ball... I mean, Ramsdale rolls it out to, I think it was Norwood, who had just been booked, I think, a few minutes ago. So Norwood loses the ball, can't really put a tackle in to win it back and sort of make up for his error. I think it's Højbjerg nicks it, plays it to Kane, and Kane does what Kane does best, which is an absolute elite finish. Mm. And there you go, 2-0, in the blink of an eye, 2-0. And then again, I thought, actually, Spurs did seemed to retreat a little bit coming out into the second half. He sort of sat a little bit.
Just took a bit more to
invited them on. They get the goal at a time when I thought they had a bit of momentum, actually looked pretty good. And then Ndombele happens and it's just an absolutely incredible goal. And as soon as that goes in, you're like, well, it's game over now. It's game over. But there was Sheffield United were just starting to maybe cause you problems before Ndombele. Am I?
Well, I think we were 2-0 up and I think at 2-0 up, you feel slightly more confident, don't you? I mean, whether you should or not is another matter, but you, psychologically you do. You feel slightly more confident about your performance. And I think there was a slight lethargy after half-term.
That's the homeschooling kicking in.
Oh my God, there's a lot of lethargy and it's not half-term yet, believe
correct,
me.
I
think there was a little lethargy after half-time. But I think that, you know, the goal did wake him up a little bit. But I also think that, you know, the reality is that there's been a lot of Spurs performances of late where I've watched the likes of particularly Son and thought, oh gosh, you know, you just look really knackered, like you look really tired. Whereas today, I didn't see that. I think he's actually, that. I know it's not been as long a rest since we played, obviously, on Wednesday evening, but that little bit of extra time between Wednesday and today...
makes a difference, doesn't
it? It's made a difference. I think the fact that we've got now, obviously, no double for Spurs, so the rest of this week off, and then obviously have an FA Cup fixture at the weekend, but it's again against lower league opposition. So
you've had a result with the draw again.
I'm not necessarily anticipating...
Is it Wickham?
Yes.
Yeah.
So in reality, I'm not necessarily anticipating... I mean, Kane had a rest last time around. Didn't even travel. I wonder actually whether it might be the other way around this time, whether Kane may travel and Son might get the weekend
Son
off.
Son gets off, okay.
Swap it about a little bit, because we won't need both of them at Wickham. Well, we really shouldn't need both of them at Wickham.
Shouldn't do.
And obviously then that means we'll be going into the Liverpool game on Thursday next week quite fresh, because they've had a big rest.
Whereas we've got a game against Manchester United, right?
Right, you've got to play midweek against Burnley.
Yep.
Then you've got to play... you're going to have to play full-strength team again against Manchester United. And of course, if we get a performance like we had today, we're going to have penalties, so it's going to be a longer match. So I think actually, you know, the benefits for Spurs at the moment, if the fixtures, I know...
Oh, he's in behind here. Sterling's in behind. What can he do? Good tackle.
Good tackle.
Nice tackle. Milivojevic, right? Yeah, good tackle. So go on then. So we'll talk about Spurs in a bit more detail later on, of course, and a lot of the other games that have gone on in 19. Let's discuss the game. Let's discuss Manchester City 2, Palace 0. A lot of FPL talking points here. We've got the Kevin De Bruyne assist. We've got the Cancelo no star.
Oh.
We've got the so far Sterling blank. We've got the John Stones with the goal, which is incredible. And then,
saved from the keeper.
Is that Stones again? 3-0.
Who's that?
John Stones again!
How is it? Seriously?
This is incredible. John Stones with his second goal of the game, guys.
John Stones?
Absolutely ridiculous for John Stones owners right now. There was a guy on Twitter that tweeted me just as we were coming on saying he triple captained Stones this evening.
Oh!
Absolute scenes. That is going to be
a good save, but then... Oh.
Diaz assist.
Yes!
Looks a bit
yes!
Diaz
yes!
assist. And it looks like a double for John Stones. John
oh,
Stones
you,
owners in absolute dreamland right now. That is sensational. We've been talking for weeks
really
and weeks, haven't we? We've been talking for weeks and weeks about the threat that City carry from set pieces.
Have
not
we been
just
talking
from...
about Stones as the threat?
Well, we have, because he scored one against Manchester City, Manchester United.
I mean,
it
was off of his, like, thigh or something.
It came off his inside leg, didn't it? But it was... Listen, he's up there and he's getting in amongst it. I mean, there's threat there from them two centre-halves.
There is. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because, so for me, I shared this with the guys in the Slack when we were talking in the week. I was talking to somebody in the week and we were talking about Man City. And my concern with Man City is always the rotation. And that's why at the beginning of this period of time when I got Diaz, which was probably, when was that? Feels like about a lifetime ago, but it was probably November, I don't know when it was, when we all decided, right, now was the moment to invest in the City defence. And I went Diaz on the basis that I just felt that there was a security. The security of starts was really important to me at that point, and more so than the upside. Oh, well remembered. More so than the upside of you know, having attacking threat, I guess. But John Stones has suddenly come to the fore for me. He is...
massively in form right now.
Massively in form. Uber cheap as well. For a City defender, you're talking about a really nice cheap... And he's in favour with Pep.
Well, it's another one of those decisions, I have to say, where, you know, you can... You, obviously, if you're a big FPL fan and you're a statistician and you go and read all of the XA and everything else, you're like, right, well, I'm going to have Cancelo because his underlying stats are great. His XA, his expected assists is incredible. But if you are not a statistician and you were maybe a bit more of a casual player, you'd look at the City defence and say, well, Stones is playing and he's cheap, so I'm going to bring him in. Two goals and a clean sheet, Carl. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But are you not thinking that? Because even as an FPL...
I am now, yeah.
So as an FPL long-term player for however many years, I'm now looking at this City team thinking, all right, well, I've got Diaz. I'm very happy. Very, very happy be a Diaz owner. Even before the assist, I was very happy to be a Diaz owner. But also, I'm looking at it thinking, well, suddenly we're talking about a Man City team who aren't conceding a lot of goals. Until game week 26, I think it is, that their fixtures turn.
Yes, I think you're right.
I think it's 26. And they, even when they turn, they're not turning to... Well, there's about
here comes Cancelo, and looks like that could be... Is it Ferran Torres, potentially? It's definitely Cancelo.
Well, that's fine to be kept for Cancelo to come on for you bench boosters out there, of course, because you're not going to want...
So that's Kevin coming off.
Thank Christ.
In 70
Get
minutes.
Off, Kevin. Off you go.
And I think that was Sterling as well coming off as well. I think number... Was it 8?
No,
that's Gundogan then, isn't it?
Well, I'm quite relieved to see Kevin Garth, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, just an assist for Kevin owners. Listen, he's got another game to go. Yeah, Gundogan off. So Gundogan done the damage with that second goal. Absolutely sensational goal. So just the assist for Kevin De Bruyne. So yeah, a bit disappointing to be honest. I would have liked to have seen him stay on for the other 20 minutes.
I bet you would have.
Absolutely would have. Of course he's got the other game to go.
But that's fine,
but
I
there
think.
Is no doubt that it's John Stones is... the man we're all going to be talking about from this game.
But
absolutely
also,
sensational.
I think if you are a Kevin De Bruyne owner in this game, you also should... I personally, I think, you know, obviously you'd be a bit disappointed that he's not stayed on for the last few minutes, but also, on reflection, given Pep's comments at the back end of game week 18, or 17, whenever they last played, about how Kevin was tired, 18... maybe actually that's a good thing that he's gone after 20 minutes, because that means it'll start in game week, in the second part of game week 19, which I think is going to be important. So
I think with the game so close together, there was always a risk that there was a bit of a rotation. I must admit, coming into the game, I was pretty happy to see him on the team sheet.
I think
to be fair, I think if he was going to rest him for any game, it potentially would have been this. So for him to get 70 minutes is okay. It's okay. It's just a shame that he's had to go off 3-0 up to Palace. When actually, you know, Palace seem to be there for the taking, right? City are just finding their gears at the minute.
Yeah, but given your triple captain disaster last year...
When
Mane got injured after, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I think if I'd have said to you at the beginning of this game, right, well, Kevin's going to play for 70 minutes, he's going to get a clean sheet and an assist, you'd have been like, okay, that's fine. Because going into the second part of the game week, when he plays against Fulham, that puts you in a nice position where you can almost be certain that Kevin De Bruyne is going to start now because he's had a rest for these last 20 minutes or so.
I would think so, yeah.
I think actually it's probably, for me as an owner, I'm quite pleased. But for you, I also think that's quite it's disappointing, but it's also longer term in this game week, maybe positive.
Yeah, what about Raheem Sterling owners then? So those that have taken a punt again on Raheem, nothing I don't think in this 3-0 and still on the pitch. So if Raheem does the 90 minutes tonight, what do we think? Do we think a rest potentially against Fulham? Looking like it could be the case,
I'll
right?
be honest, I'm so done with trying to guess Pep. I thought...
Not against Fulham, against Villa, sorry.
Oh, sorry, yeah, against Villa.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Why did I say Fulham? Who's got Fulham?
Someone else has got Fulham.
Bruno's got Fulham.
Yeah.
I think with Pep, there are a few players out there that you can be fairly certain are going to start. Most of them are in the defence. Like I would say, he's going to start Cancelo, Stones and Diaz and obviously Edison. But then who's going to start up front? Well, it'll be Kevin and then it'll be some and others around that. Now, Jesus has done pretty much nothing and I've not really seen a lot from him today that's going to make me think that he's worth it. But they haven't really got anyone to replace him unless they play Kevin in a false nine or Torres in a false nine. But it doesn't make much sense when you've got Jesus there.
Yeah.
Foden feels like the biggest FPL trap going. Now, I might have...
You called that, to be fair, last week. I was quite keen on Grealish to Foden last week because he's so in form. He's their top scorer in all competitions.
You knew he'd bench him. I knew he would.
And I think you said, you know, well, this is Pep. What, we've seen it in the past.
We saw him
Foden hits form and then he drops him.
Yeah.
So it was on that basis that I think I didn't, and a lot of others didn't, go for Foden. Although if you did...
Well, he's got 20 minutes.
He's got 20 minutes and the rest of the game, obviously, against Aston Villa.
And the game looks, you know, here for the taking in terms of more goals if City want them. But I think for me, Foden... don't get me wrong. I think Foden is a great player. I really like him. If he was at any other club, he'd be a no-brainer to invest in. But at Man City, Pep does this. He scores a load of goals and then he benches him.
He does. James O'Mahony is in, Sam, tonight. Hey, James.
Hey,
how are we doing? He says... My friend is going to kill me. He was going to triple captain Stones. I talked him out of it.
The thing is, James, if Lee had said to me, I'm going to triple captain a City defender, I would have talked him out of it too. Because you can't... I mean, we normally say the golden one of the golden rules of FPL is don't captain a defender. So let alone
triple captain. Especially after Shane Duffy a couple of seasons ago. Do you remember that debacle?
Oh,
wow.
I dodged that bullet. I just stayed out of it. And I think, you know, we
there will be plenty of FPL managers out there, though, Sam, with Stones and Diaz in their team. There'll be the double up.
Lovely.
Which is going to get you somewhere in the thick end of 35 points, isn't it? 30 points right now. Two goals and a clean sheet. Of course, fingers crossed a clean sheet stays. And it doesn't look as if Palace are showing much attacking intent. And I must admit, when I saw the Palace team sheet without Zaha, now, he might have a problem, I get it. But when I saw Zaha not on the team sheet, I thought, that is Palace... giving up a bit there, isn't it? That is Palace coming up to the Etihad and just going, look, it's not good. We're not up for this game. We're not going to do it.
I think, and the thing is, their heads are gone now, so this could be any score. But, like, John Stones, for me, like, I'm just looking at how many he's on at the moment. Right, he's currently on 18. He's going to get 3 bonus points. He's on 21 points.
Absolute scenes. I mean, that is that is so good.
It is outrageous.
That is so good.
It is outrageous. And when you look
don't speak too soon. I use through it. Good.
No.
Like
don't
that.
Speak too like soon. I use through. Are you having a laugh?
Are you?
Ayew's never been through in his life.
Ayew was through. He falls over like a sack of Ayew's whatever.
Through.
And VAR says,
give me a break.
Lee Mason says, get up. Liam Healy is here. Hey, Liam, how are you doing? Nice to see you. He says, evening, Lee and Sam. Is Zuma a rotation risk now? So
this is another one. We've...
As much as we are lording over the centre-half pairing of Diaz and Stones, there will be a lot of FPL managers that didn't get those guys and instead went to the likes of Zuma. Chelsea, of course, the double game week, so they beat Fulham 1-0 and also have got to go to the King Power Stadium on Tuesday. But Zuma, a no-show for Chelsea. And I must admit, and I'd like your thoughts on the Chelsea performance, because up until the Fulham red card, I thought Chelsea were kind of, you know, huffing and puffing and grafting and crossing and trying to hit Giroud and later on in the game, Tammy Abraham as much as possible. But it didn't look like it was going to happen for them. And Fulham actually looked all right. And then Robinson gets the red card and kind of power and momentum in the game swings to Chelsea, right?
Nobody clip this and send it to my dad and my brother, but I thought Chelsea were awful.
Yeah, they weren't good, right?
I thought Chelsea were...
lacking a bit of ideas in the middle there, right?
And I think that, for me, so they started the game pretty badly. I thought Fulham started the game well. I thought Fulham were doing a great job until the guy just loses his head. It's a terrible tackle. It deserves a red card. He's just lost... He's had a moment. And that happens sometimes, doesn't it?
And by the way, it is a red card, but I think I tweeted at the time that Azpilicueta does a great job of getting him sent off.
No,
I mean,
he doesn't help.
The high jump there is incredible, but it is a red because he's showing his studs and it hits his shin, so it is a red.
Absolutely. But Chelsea, for me, they were devoid of any kind of threat. Even when they were getting in the right sort of areas, they were a bit blunt in attack. And instead of kind of thinking this isn't really working and trying to change it, Frank just like threw on every striking option that he had in the hope that one of them... There was no formation by the end.
Oh, at some stage, I think, wasn't it Giroud, Tammy and Werner all
ridiculous.
On? And it was just like, just cross it. Just get the ball to Ziyech and cross it to the big fellas.
And hope. Yeah. That's basically what it was. Yeah. And it was like, do you know what? I don't understand what's going on at Chelsea. I can't tell you why Zuma didn't play. The whole thing just baffles me. Here we go. Look, game changer. Batman's come on.
Batshuayi
on the game.
For Andros Townsend in what can only be described as...
Roy, bless him, looking like he needs to retire, doesn't he? Looking.
A game-changing result. I can't help but feel for Palace. I mean, if I look at Palace's next few fixtures, and again, you can go to the fixture difficulty rating on either Scout or on the official website. Crystal Palace's next few fixtures, Sam. West Ham at home, Wolves at home, Newcastle away, Leeds away, Burnley at home. Now, they are top of the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticket if you sort by difficulty. What does that tell me about their approach to this game, Hodgson's approach? This approach, it tells me everything I need to know, which is we've got to go to the Etihad. We don't think we're going to win. Some really important games coming up, so we don't need Zaha injured. Let's make something up and he doesn't travel. It doesn't feel to me like they came here with any intent to win this game.
No.
I might be wrong. But if I was a Palace fan and I looked at those next five, I'd be saying, well, look, probably got more chance of winning some points from those five than from this game.
I think they've got every chance of beating Wolves, who look Well, what has happened to Wolves?
Well, Connor, give us a bit of commentary on Wolves then, because the game, the City game, we are still watching it, guys. 79th minute. It's 3-0, obviously, to Manchester City. Not a lot going on now. It looks as if City are going to just play this game out.
They're still attacking every time they can.
It's a bit of a training session, and I think if they win their game in hand, which is obviously the one during the week, then...
Will they be top? I think they will be.
I remember.
Even if Man United also win their next game?
Not sure. I'm sure somebody in the live chat will tell us about how the table looks. But City, all of a sudden, hitting form, peaking at the right time. And that United and Liverpool result today will absolutely suit them, won't it? Absolutely suit them. But before we get to that, a quick word on Wolves, and since you mentioned them. That's, I think, 1-9 now since the Jimenez injury. What's going on there? What's going on? He can't get it right, can he, at Espirito Santo?
No, it's all gone wrong. And it's really... Actually, you know, this time I genuinely think it's really sad because I really like Wolves, watching Wolves play normally. They normally are full of kind of flair going forward, aren't they? And they've been really good. And then they lost Doherty at the beginning of the season. And I do think that that affected them. It's affected the dynamics of their team and the way that they play. So to lose him and... Otto as well, that was massive at the beginning of the season. Then of course to lose Jimenez in the way that they did, and I know that Jimenez is, you know, he's in and around the club, thank goodness he looks to be okay. And he's there a lot, isn't he? He's at every match, he's at the training ground, etc, etc. But when you see that happen on the field, it does have an impact on the mental state of the players around, and for me it does seem to have had a big impact on the rest of the Wolves squad. They're just not there.
They're just doing a replay of the Gundogan strike. What a goal this is!
There's been some great goals today.
What a goal! Not in the Liverpool game. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that is such a strike from Gundogan.
So with regards to Wolves, it's difficult because, you know, in many ways, the Wolves assets provide quite a lot of FPL value, and they would be really nice differential picks at the time of the season where you're looking to, for a lot of people now, having played their bench boost, if you have, in game week 19, the rest of the season should be a time where you can start to take some money out of the bench and invest it more into into your first 11.
What's your feel on the bench boost, just quickly? If you played it this week, was it a success or a fail? It's feeling a bit like a fail.
It's hard to know, isn't it? Because it depends on who you've got on your bench.
Of course it does, yeah.
If you've got Southampton players or Leeds players on your bench, it's going to undoubtedly be a fail this week. Unless we somehow get this rogue rumour come true that the game might be back on.
Because, well, I heard this. Yeah, I heard this,
Shrewsbury
can't...
There's still massive COVID problems, isn't there, at Shrewsbury, and it's
so
unknown.
No, so no guarantees right now, of course, with any fixtures whatsoever, but you're saying that Saints and Leeds, there is a very, very slim chance that it might be stuck in the middle of next week.
There were some comments from Hasselhoeven at the end of the game yesterday where he basically said... if Shrewsbury can't play, we wouldn't be opposed to the Premier League reinstating our fixture against Leeds on Wednesday evening. And in theory, the Premier League have got a precedent for this now, because last week, on Monday morning, they told Fulham they've got to play on Wednesday.
Oh, listen, at this stage, they can do what they want, can't they, the Premier League? I mean, they put any fixture anywhere.
Yeah. So the reality is, they could turn around to both Leeds and Southampton and say, okay, guys, the Shrewsbury game on Wednesday night can't go ahead, so we're sticking this Premier League game back in. Could happen. I don't know where that would leave Shrewsbury. I guess that would leave them needing to give... lead them to giving Southampton the match.
Do you want to give any commentary on that, or just a bit of
No. City had an attack. I thought Gaeta was basically going to have a nightmare, but he didn't. He caught the ball.
That's how watch along to work. You can't just sit there and make noises. You have to sort of give a bit of what's going on.
No. This is me. This is why I don't do Scout Pass match day, because you basically, what you'll get from me is, I think, what was I talking about? I've lost my train of thought. Southampton and Leeds. So there is a possibility. So going back to Leeds, where this was going from, is that if you're trying to strip some value out of the bench and put it into the rest of your team, then there are some assets in these other clubs who make for cheap.
Would you recommend that? You've sat here for weeks and weeks saying that you can't do that because of COVID and stuff.
No, no. So I personally wouldn't recommend that. No, because I think you need to keep some value in your bench,
right,
because you're going to need them for coming on for COVID reasons, etc., etc., etc. But some people's strategy will be bench boost, strip the value out of the bench because you don't need it, and just get playing cheap assets, Mitchell, those sorts of players, Brewster.
But suddenly, I think defensively, all of a sudden, there are some really, really great value options now in defence.
There
I mean,
are. John
you
Stones.
Know, all right, getting beat 3-0, but Tyrick Mitchell is now, feels as if he's pretty nailed on in this Palace side.
Yeah. Hutchinson said something about how he trusts Mitchell's defending more than PBA's.
Did he say that?
Basically, he said, he didn't say that specifically. He said, I asked him why he was playing Mitchell, and he said something like his defensive qualities will be really important against the bigger clubs. So okay. I expect that we will see Mitchell in games. So it would be interesting over the next 5 weeks, when you've just listed those fixtures that Palace have got, to see who he puts out. Because in theory, they shouldn't need as good a defence at that point. So maybe PVA gets the games over the next few weeks for attacking potential.
Oh, I see what you mean. So actually he wants to go into West Ham, Wolves, Newcastle, Leeds and Burnley in the next five and actually attack those games. And maybe it's Patrick Van Aanholt that gets the nod rather than Mitchell.
Yeah, so that's what he was implying at the end of the last game, was that he's got two good options. One is great for attacking and one is great for the defensive. So they've both got different strength in the same position. So okay. It all depends on the fixture as to who gets the nod.
Okay, so you've got Mitchell there. You've got obviously now John Stones, which I think if he wasn't already on your radar or in your team, he's going to be after tonight.
Yeah,
no question whatsoever.
Owned, but he's looking like a great option, isn't he?
10.9% owned. And as we've mentioned on these live streams before, guys, you know, look at game week 20 going forward. Certainly for the next 3 or 4 weeks, City assets look like they should be the ones that you're looking to bring in.
Yeah.
And then if you look again at the teams that have got decent fixtures coming up, Aston Villa, I mean, defensively have looked pretty good. They've got so much catch-up to do with fixtures.
Yeah.
But they're bound to have doubles pop in at some stage, right? So if you're holding your Villa assets, I don't think that's a bad thing. They've got Burnley, Southampton, West Ham coming up next, so that looks okay.
We just have to see, don't we, with Villa. We have to find out who's affected, I guess, because we should know that on Wednesday, of course, when the City game happens, in terms of who makes it, who looks like they've had COVID for the last couple.
Yeah, but if you've got a Martinez, if you've got a Konsa, if you've got any of these guys, the cheap Villa defenders, you've got Matty Target.
Oh, that's a free kick.
Oh, that's a free kick. Edge of the box. Looks like McCarthy bundling over. Was it Phil Foden?
I am not sure.
Looks like it was Foden that went over.
I still have not.
No, it is Ferran Torres.
I still have not replaced my glasses, so I actually can't see.
You literally can't see this.
I can't see anything. Honestly, it's terrible.
Has taken the ball off of Foden here, right? So Foden picked the ball up then and was just like, right, here I go. This is my opportunity. He's now doing the thing, Foden, which is, I'm pissed off, so I'm going to just roll my socks up and ignore what's going on. John Stones
is in there, of
course. Fox in the box.
He's
John
in there.
Stones.
He wants to take the ball home. If he gets a hat-trick, I will laugh.
Could be us and John
more.
Stones. You know this is deflecting in off of John Stones' arse, don't you?
If
it's
this goes in off John Stones, I will laugh so much. If he's
going to be Raheem Sterling, though, from just outside the box, guys, slightly to the left-hand side of the penalty area, quite central.
Is it bad that I really want him to score? Stones?
What a goal, Raheem Sterling. Very, very nice indeed. And there's your goal, Sterling owners. If you have it, if you've got him, if you stuck with him, fair play. He's not had the best game. He's
not
had the best game,
to be
honest.
The whole match now.
Very, very good indeed. Yeah, exactly.
That'd
yeah,
be a
exactly.
Torres assist as well.
It's a Torres assist, Sterling goal. Very nicely taken free kick. And I must admit,
a bit disappointed in Stones ducking out the way there.
You're looking for a Diaz or a Stones deflection on that, aren't you? For sure. As soon as he's picked that ball up and put it there.
He meant that.
I don't think he would have put that anywhere different, you know, to perfectly place that where he wanted it. It looked like it had goal written all over it. Again, it's the sort of free kick that actually Kevin probably would have taken, which is a bit disappointing again. But never mind. But Sterling has finished that with aplomb. It's now City 4, Crystal Palace 0.
Oh, you did already?
It's done, Sam. I'm on the ball here. I'm on the ball. It's 4-0, and I've already got my 5 key ready on my keyboard.
Well, I think you might be using it. Where's John Stones?
Stones making a late burst into the box. I can't see it. So 4-0 City. Actually, as a Cancelo and as a Kevin De Bruyne triple captain, that's a bit of a disappointing FPL return from 4-0, because that suggests that, you know, I've read the game right. I think City are going to get a clean sheet. I'm going to have Cancelo. I think they're going to score. So I'll have him, Cancelo for goal threat, triple captain Kevin. And actually, there's not a lot of FPL points in it for him. But listen, we'll go again against Aston Villa. Hopefully that game goes ahead.
I'm intrigued by that game.
Well, do we know whether the Aston Villa training ground is open yet? That was supposed to happen this weekend.
It was supposed to open today, I think. But we haven't been told it hasn't. Therefore, I assume it has. Because I think we'd know if it hadn't reopened. Because yeah. Aston Villa quickly ask for delays on fixtures if they need them, don't they? As they did against Everton and they did against Spurs, of course, in the middle of last week. So I suspect that had it not reopened, we'd have heard that Villa would ask for the game to be to be delayed.
Was that a top guys are saying? Was that a Torres assist? It would have been Torres. Got fouled just outside the area, and then Sterling takes a free kick and scores. Good to see Batshuayi coming on making an impact.
Told you it was game changing.
Absolute rubbish, isn't he? Absolute rubbish.
Where's Benteke?
Don't know. In the bin, probably.
No,
in
he's
the
on
bin.
The bench.
I wonder whether as he's taking his Sterling picture now out of the bin after that free kick. I don't know whether you saw this, but he ceremoniously put the Sterling picture in the bin.
But did Az free kick him? Did Az free hit him?
I think he did free kick him, yes.
Did he free hit him?
I think he did free hit him, yes. So I'm pretty sure that Sterling will be back out of Az's team in time for the goal.
Az will be loving life, though, because of Brighton won.
I'm sure he will.
Az will be happy. He won't care what's going on in this.
Anything else to say about this game before? Otherwise, we can... Because, again, this is petering out, this game. We're on 91 minutes.
What do you mean petering out?
1 minute of injury time to go. Stones is on a hat-trick. There's a statement I didn't think we'd be saying today, guys, which
is
absolutely incredible.
Stones
owners, get in the live chat. Get in the comments.
Somebody in that live chat's got Stones.
Someone.
I want to know who you are.
There's plenty of Stones owners in here, Sam. Let me tell you. Loads of Stones owners.
Well, it's on 21 points.
How would you feel now if you were a Phil Foden owner? So he's come on. He's just been absolutely chopped down, by the way. Was that MacArthur or McCarthy?
Don't know, but
it was McCarthy. Absolutely chopped Foden in half there. Unsurprisingly...
Here he goes.
Unsurprisingly, Sky Sports have given John Stones man of the match.
He's
two
going
goals,
up to the box for his header.
115 touches, Sam. 112 passes. That is a match rank of first across all of those metrics. There... Awesome. And he's in the box.
He's in the box.
So City have got a free kick.
Do you know
which,
what? I think they should do against Villa. Never mind playing Jesus. Just play John Stones up front.
Incredible. Here's a free kick coming in.
Gaeta feels
quite nicely.
Gaeta.
Disappointing not to see the John Stones hat trick, but
I don't
I'm pretty sure, but
I'd like to see it.
Pretty sure his FPL manager owners will not mind about the hat trick. They will happily take a brace.
I love a rogue hat trick from a random player you never expected from.
And Diaz owners, including yourself, will be happy with 11. The clean sheet and the assist, right? I mean, that's an 11 pointer for Diaz with a game to go.
Thank you, Diaz.
Is not to be sniffed at whatsoever. Cancelo owners, better luck next time. Better luck next time. A one
Still
pointer
a point,
for him,
which,
right?
To be honest, if you're playing a bench boost or you're in a double game week, 1 point.
And there it is. There it is, full time. So City 4, Crystal Palace 0. Very much going with the script. Hodgson looks pretty happy with that. Not to have got smashed 7 or 8.
Happy with that.
Hodgson is smiling there, and I'll tell you what, he's happy not to have just got a bit battered 7 or 8. He was not coming here tonight with any intention of winning this game, I can tell you. Absolutely routine as you like win for Manchester City.
I love you, Diaz.
And of course, Man City have still got the double game week to come. We hope, pending news from Aston Villa, that Wednesday, the 20th of January at 6 o'clock GMT, we'll see Manchester City at the Etihad against Aston Villa, which arguably, given the way that Aston Villa have been defending, is a more difficult game than
this.
I
don't think I've watched that one.
It's a more difficult game than this, I would suggest. This was the game where we were all hoping for the FPL points, and for Stones and Diaz owners and for Gundogan owners, they have come in. And for Sterling owners, yes, Sterling nicking in there with the goal at the
end.
Sky
Sports
really,
Cam
really
is absolutely loving John Stones.
The Sky Sports Cam is loving John Stones. We are going to turn this off. And we are going to go to the chat.
Should we say hello to everybody?
Hello to everybody. Let's say hello to everybody.
Sorry for the podcast viewers. I just slammed my tea down a little bit hard. I'm sorry about that.
That would have gone smack into everybody's headphones. Thank you for that. I'm just going to make sure this is on the right setting, actually, because, yes, looks like it is. Excellent.
We should really get a little, you know, those little ones that clip on.
Yeah, we should get those. Chris Ollie is here. He said he took an 8-point hit for Stones.
Well, that's paid off already.
Paid off. Very good.
21.
Very good. Jack Lamb is in. He's saying, my respect for Stones. Yes. Yep. FPL Tips is in. Hey, Tips,
Harry.
How are we doing?
Now, Harry, do you have Stones?
Holding is better than Stones. Not tonight, he's not, mate. Not tonight, he is not. Stones is absolutely
holding
the one tonight.
Is better.
He
well,
is the one.
If Holding gets a brace tomorrow and a clean sheet, tomorrow, I think, isn't it, Arsenal?
Arsenal then, against Newcastle, yeah, tomorrow.
Then,
Monday night.
You know, maybe we'll do a little video just dedicated to Holding. But until he braces, I'm afraid, Tips, he is not.
I think you're right. Craig Manuel is in. I took a minus 12 to get Stones. All of a sudden, these minus 12s are suddenly looking like genius moves. When at kickoff, you're just like, I'm minus 12 for John Stones. Are you sure, Craig? Are you sure about that? All of a sudden, he's got 30 points. That's ridiculous. Katie is in. Hey, Katie, how are you doing? Oliver Green Street is in. Took a minus 8 for Stones.
There's I love a lot of minus 8s for Stones.
No doubt about it. Josh is in and moderating. Hey, FPL Telling, how are you doing? Paul, we're lucky today, Lee. Josh, I don't disagree with you, mate. I do not disagree with you. We'll talk about that game in more detail later on.
I'd like you to have been in the same room to watch that game. I'd have found that funny.
Honestly, hated it. I hated it.
I don't think Josh enjoyed it that much either.
I hated it. We were nervous. We were just tentative. We were just like, you know, every time we had the ball, it was like, don't lose it, because as soon as you lose it, they'll get you on the counter. Bruno nearly did. And Pogba's chance at the end. I mean, Alisson has got us a point there. There's no doubt about it. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Sonny Forsberg is in. He's saying he's got 51 with a triple captain on Salah. Don't worry. There's Salah blank.
Yeah, but Salah,
the points are coming.
Don't worry about Salah in a minute.
Gabriel Langton is in. How are we doing, Gabriel? Very nice to see you. Dylan Williams is here. Casey Lamb. Hey, Casey. My cousin, triple captain David Button. Any thoughts?
What?
Triple captain David Button.
Why?
He got some points this week.
He got 1 point.
He got a 1 pointer, yeah.
Why the hell would you triple captain David Button?
Absolutely no idea.
What on earth is wrong with
you? We don't really have any thoughts on that, to be honest with you. We don't have any thoughts.
It's blowing my mind.
Bossman 525 disappointed about only a point at Liverpool today. Listen, Man United fans, you are right to be disappointed with that point. But the one thing I will say was we were there. Liverpool were there for the taking, I thought. And United just didn't go for it quite as much as I thought you were going to. I thought you were really, really going to go for it and maybe lose 1-0, but having gone for it, I don't know, maybe there's some regret there in the Man United camp. Probably not. A point at Anfield is pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. Otto is in 70 points with 12 players to go. Pretty happy. Quite a lot of smiley emojis. Could just have captained John Stones, to be honest with you. Callum JB is in. How are we doing? Tracy Haupt is in. Hey, Tracy. Very nice to see you. How are you doing? Malakudi. Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
Just could have gone with Nick.
Cancelo owners and sad face. Yes, not good for Cancelo owners. But listen, we've got another game. And given that he was rested for tonight, I would expect that he will start that Aston Villa game if it goes ahead.
Maybe John Stones will get a rest.
Roger is in. Hey, Roger, he just says Salah is finished.
Can we talk about Salah in a minute?
About Salah in a bit more detail later, because you in particular are thinking about getting rid of him. You got some thoughts about Salah. Martin is in. Martin Tricky Swatch. How are we doing, Martin? Very nice to see you. And who else have we got? We've got George Wade and a whole host of you are in tonight. So guys, thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family. Listen, this is going to be a little bit of a shorter one. We've done the watch along, so we'll cover a few of the games. We've covered a few of them already in that chat there in the watch along, because frankly, that was a bit of a procession, wasn't it, from Man City, other than for us piping up
like
with the John Stones goal every now and again.
It's
a John Stones party, wasn't it?
John Stones fan club.
So we'll just briefly discuss some of the other games, and then we'll talk about our teams. I haven't got any graphics about how our teams are doing, but we can talk about that. We'll get it up on our phones on FPL Fix or whatever we're going to use, and we will discuss it
live FPL.net.
We will discuss it from there. Right, Sam, let's go to it was a bit weird. There's the Twitter on the left hand side if you're following us on Twitter. Probably best not to this weekend, but as of next week, as of tomorrow, it's going to be different. Get on the Twitter at
FPL
Family.
What are you going to do tomorrow?
I don't know. Anything could happen as of tomorrow. If this weekend is anything to go by on Twitter, anything could happen
upset tips by talking about holding. Just stay out of it. just leave it be.
I've upset enough people this week. I won't upset tips as well. Let's talk about these games then, Sam. We haven't talked really about Liverpool Man United yet, and since the live chat wants to talk about a lot of Manchester United fans in. I will give my thoughts in a minute. Let's hear your thoughts, particularly on Roger saying Salah is finished. What are we saying? Another blank for Mo Salah, just the three-pointer. A lot of money in our FPL teams, and you in particular not with Kevin De Bruyne in your team.
Mm.
Is that a move you'd think about making?
So let's cover the Kevin De Bruyne thing, because that bleeds into where I'm going to go with Salah. I have played FPL this year just with gut. And I'm always like that, aren't I? Every year I play it with a gut feeling and I do things based upon how I feel. And I couldn't get my head around taking Son out. And every time I looked at my team, I knew the right thing to do was probably to bring in Kevin De Bruyne, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And I looked across my midfield with Son and with Fernandez and with the legend that is Souček and obviously Yves Bissouma, but I mean, we just leave him out because he don't really count. He's too cheap. And Salah, and thought, of those four, and obviously there's Kane, but of those four, the only one that is really viable, in my opinion, to leave my team is Salah. Now, you cannot take Salah out of your team ahead of a double game week.
No, very difficult to do that. At home, two home games.
And we've seen so far this season that, as standard, Salah has been performing better in the more difficult home in the more difficult games as well. So he's had off games against West Brom and Fulham, but actually in the games, the bigger games, he's been better. So a game against Manchester United, I was like, that's prime Salah territory, that is. Can't take him out for that. Even against Burnley, they're going to be difficult to break down. That's got Salah. If they're going to score, can't take him out. So my mum was like, well, okay, I'm just going to have to get behind the sofa.
But what now then? There are several blanks in a row for Salah. Yeah. How are we feeling about him from now on?
So I said on my Insta reaction to this game, I watched Salah, obviously in particular focused on Salah, but he's just not right at the minute. He isn't right. And in my view, he hasn't been right since he tested positive for COVID. The only game...
You think it's a Salah thing rather than a Liverpool thing?
I think it's a bit of both. Okay. So I think Salah hasn't been right since the COVID thing. With the exception of that Crystal Palace game, but he only played half an hour. And it was half an hour of a game that Liverpool were winning, firmly in control of, free-flowing football.
Yeah.
Perfect kind of muddle of stuff for Salah, right?
Parts have given up, haven't they? They're a bit like they did tonight, yeah.
Given up. So I think that is part of it. But I also think, and I said this to you during the game, for Firmino, I don't... I know that I, you know, Firmino for Christmas, but I did tell you to sell him in January, and he has dropped like a stone, like off a cliff. He is not the same player that he was even 3 weeks ago. He looks laboured. He looks devoid of ideas. The balls aren't getting through to Salah and to Mane in the way that you would want. And last season, part of the reason why Salah was such an amazing fantasy asset was because of how good Firmino was. And he never really get the credit for it from an FPL point of view because he doesn't get that many points. But he creates the space and the movement for Salah and Mane to do what they did last year. He's not doing that at the moment. Liverpool are... Trent and Robbo, like, I know they got some bonus points today, but they look...
So you just said it could be a Salah and a COVID thing. I'm not going to disagree with you. But you've then gone on to say it's a Liverpool
but
problem.
Liverpool
and
well.
I absolutely agree with you. It's a Liverpool problem. I don't think it's a Salah thing. It's a Liverpool problem.
I think it's both.
Because if you look at Salah's stats, if you look at Firmino's stats, you look at Mane's stats, they're all off, right?
They are off.
Trent is well off it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to pretend he's not. He's well off it. Robbo is probably the least off it, but even by his standards, he's off it. Now, my view is there's a couple of things as to why I think we're off right now. And we're lacking goals, right? One is transition through the team. So the balance is completely gone, right? So when you put somebody like Henderson alongside Fabinho, the nerves just permeate through the team, right? Don't get me wrong, Henderson played today because he doesn't trust Phillips and Williams, right? Neither of those two are fast. And against Martial and Rashford, you need to have a player that's got a little bit of pace. Neither of those guys got any pace. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, don't play him then. How can you play? You've got to play Williams or Phillips. Neither of those two guys were meant to get any Premier League minutes this season. Neither of them, right? Our centre-halves were going to be Gomez and Van Dijk with Matip as backup and Fabinho for real backup. All of a sudden, we're at Fabinho and whoever else can play centre-half. And it's Jordan Henderson. So the balance is completely gone. Now, the big problem with putting Henderson in the back at centre-half is that he's not in central midfield where you want him. And the same with Fabinho. That's where you want him. You want him protecting the back four. So you've got arguably your two best midfielders, and I'll talk about Thiago in a bit, but you've got your arguably two best midfielders at centre-half.
Yeah.
Now, again, you look at the way that Liverpool have played in the last 2 years, Henderson is so important, and the reason he's such an unsung hero and Liverpool fans love him so much, but the FPL community doesn't really care about him, is because when Trent and Robbo go, he is there to cover. And they've spent 2 years knowing that if they bomb on Trent and Robbo, Henderson will be there to cover. And I can bomb on knowing that if I lose it or if I make a mistake, Hendo's there. Robbo, if I go forward and I make a mistake, Hendo's there. I've got cover. I'm not afraid to make a mistake. All of a sudden, they are all afraid to make mistakes. And that comes to my second point, which is not only is the balance of the team gone, but they are nervous. And with that nerves comes a lack of confidence. And if you then add into the mix the fact that there's no fans, this is primarily a team that plays on emotion, right? They're obviously, they play with their heads, very intelligent footballers, right? They all are because they're Premier League footballers. But they play on emotions, the way that Klopp has got that club running with the fans, etc., etc. Notice that we had a bit of a peak in form when the fans came back to the stands. With some better performances, West Brom aside, we were a little bit better. Now we're falling off again because we're an emotional side. So I think all of those things combined, I'm not saying Van Dijk and Gomez are the reason we're bad, but it is a big, big reason why we're bad. The balance of the side is completely gone. Trent and Robbo don't go because they don't know who's covering. I mean, who was covering today? Who was doing Hendo's role today? Not Shaqiri.
Alisson.
Was it Thiago? I think it was supposed to be Thiago, but his home debut. So if I'm Trent, do I go and trust that Thiago's going to come over, or do I hesitate?
But it's hard, isn't it, to trust, and I'm not saying they shouldn't trust Thiago, but he's new to the club. And it's hard to trust somebody who's new to the club.
Yeah, Shaqiri and Thiago never played together before.
No, and it's hard to trust the new guys because you build a system, and it was, and particularly at Liverpool, it was a very successful system. And last season, you didn't have many injuries. So the first team were solid, and they played together for a lot of matches, just the same team week after week after week.
And also, another thing is that Klopp talks about rhythm, right? Last season, we had rhythm. Boy, did we have rhythm. Because you're right, we were pretty lucky with injuries. We didn't have, you know, everyone knew where everyone was on the pitch. There was like this telepathy. There's that word again. Trying to use that again on the FPL show. They had this telepathy going through the team.
Say it now, though, can't
you? I can say it now, practice. Where they all knew where each other were going to be. If I go, my mate will cover me.
Yeah.
If I make a mistake, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I will take a risk in the past.
And
now they don't take those risks.
No, and Thiago, there was a couple of challenges today where I was a bit like, oh, that was a bit rash. Just a kind of a bit slightly panicky.
Yeah.
Slightly panicked. Oh my God, they're going to get in behind. I'll just throw a tackle in.
I think Thiago is a class player, right? He's
I'm
a class player.
He's not.
And when he and Henderson are playing together, and he's got a bit more freedom to do it, he played really well today. I thought he'd run the game in the first half. Second half, United switched it up a little bit and they put Pogba in and around him and it was a bit more difficult. But in the first half, he ran the game. But the problem with playing Manchester United today, you could see it. The reason United got those two chances in the last few minutes, was that, and I said to you this when I was sitting in there watching it with you, after 80 minutes, and we'll move on from Liverpool in a minute. I appreciate it's a bit of a rant about Liverpool now. But after 80 minutes, you could see everyone was like, shit, we could lose.
What's wrong with you today?
We could lose our home record here. And not only that, could we lose our home record? We could lose it to Man United. And you could see all the players were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And so all of a sudden they had two gilt-edged chances and the coolest man in Liverpool, Alisson, picks us up the point.
It's interesting.
But there was that feeling throughout the whole game was we're nervous. And because of those nerves, it's not translating into confidence. The front three aren't working.
So going back to the question you originally asked me, which was, am I going to keep Salah? The question is, It depends what he does against Burnley. If he blanks again against Burnley, then he will be my transfer out for game week 20.
Okay.
Because Spurs have got, and you know what I'm like, I stay true to my transfers at the moment because, you know, I said I wasn't going to get KDB and I didn't. But this time around, this has been the first moment where there's been a thought in my mind that the premium, one premium is no longer worth it.
Let me just to back up your Salah out theory there. Yes, it's Burnley next. Of course, that's locked in. We can't change that.
Then it's Spurs.
Then it's Spurs away. Very difficult.
Welcome to hell.
It's definitely not hell, but it's going to be very difficult to defend
against
Fortress, you guys.
Fortress Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
There's no fans in there.
Have you met the Fortress?
I've been there, Sam. I've walked on the roof, and you know that.
It's brilliant.
And after the Spurs game, West Ham away. Now, listen, that's
difficult.
That's not easy.
Have you met Suchet?
It's not easy. Have you met? Bonner.
You'll have a bucket of potato
then
salad.
It's Brighton at home, which is the sort of team that will sit. I'd back us to break them down, but you never know. Then it's Man City and Leicester. So the next five for Liverpool, absolutely crucial. And chuck in an FA Cup fourth round tie against Manchester United there as well.
At a time where the Man City fixtures are nice. And I've been sat
correct.
That's
the point, isn't it?
Yeah, and I appreciate that, you know, Danny was saying in the Slack yesterday, you know, why would you do it after the double? And I get what he was saying. But equally, I'm like, well, until today, watching the Manchester United game, I was still a bit on the fence with Salah because a good player, no, an outstanding player like Salah doesn't go bad overnight. But we're now talking about a very expensive, the most expensive premium asset in my team with three blanks on a bounce in a team that's not performing as I would want them to.
And the other thing is you'd look at your other big hitter in the midfield there. You used to look at Bruno and say, well, could he make way for Kevin De Bruyne? And I think you'd absolutely say no with Sheffield United next, who look absolute guff, to be honest with you. The amount of times they gave the ball away easily to Spurs. Fernandes is going to have a field day there at home to Sheffield United. Arsenal after that, Southampton, Everton at home, and then West Brom. So you ain't getting rid of Fernandes, are you?
No, and I don't want to get rid of Kane and Son, because whilst there's a couple of tricky fixtures in there, like Liverpool in 20, I do genuinely believe that there's also a lot of points to be had in those games, in the other games around it as well. So I don't want to get rid of either of them. It doesn't, and I know people think it's my Spurs goggles, but genuinely, just look at the stats. The stats, if you forget all of the, you know, loyalties to any club. And I've never played this with a loyal... Apart from to Harry Kane, I have a loyalty to Kane. But I've never played this with a... If I had loyalties to Spurs, I'd have Toby Alderweireld every week, wouldn't I? Mm. And Gareth Bale. This is about... It's about picking the best premiums. And my strategy for the season is to pick premiums and stay loyal until the right moment when you shouldn't be loyal to them. Mm. And then move them. But you move them to somebody who you then stay loyal to. Mm. And you don't switch about. Because the minute you start switching between premiums, for me anyway... What happens is I miss hauls,
okay,
and you miss out on these big things. So for me, the moment with Salah is Burnley. If Burnley comes out with a blank, then Salah
easily could, by the way.
And it easily
Burnley
could.
Will sit, right? They will sit. It'll be Newcastle and West Brom all over again.
Because to be honest, my captaincy on Salah this week was there for the Man United game. It wasn't for the Burnley game. Mm. Like I thought Liverpool would go out with a bit of grit and a bit of courage against Man United, and they just didn't.
Okay. Well, I'm in the same situation as you. I have Salah.
You've got KDB.
I agree with everything you've said. My money is completely stacked in the middle now. And I have, Kevin De Bruyne, I have Fernandes, I have Salah, I have Son, and I have Suchek. That's my midfield.
Legend.
Suchek is a legend. No points yet. They're coming.
Oh,
they're
coming for Suchek. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about the second part of this game.
So, again, I look at my forwards and I think, well, Antonio, good start, but let's see if he can keep it up. Bamford, who's got nice fixtures and is highly owned, and he's a good pick, and I'm quite reasonably happy with him. And then I've got Che Adams, who I'm desperate to get rid of. So
you don't have Harry Kane anymore, do you?
So I don't have Kane anymore. But if I look at the Spurs fixtures, Liverpool, Brighton, Chelsea, West Brom, City, there's a lot of games there where I wouldn't back necessarily Spurs to go crazy. Like Liverpool, you will sit and defend. Chelsea, you'll sit and defend. City, you'll sit and defend. Now, can he score points in those games? Of course he can. 23 goal involvements in 18 games now. Sensational so far. So of course he can get points. But I look at those fixtures and I don't know if I want to double on Son and Kane.
And
those feel like Son games to me. That's a bit of a... Sorry, that's a bit of a waffly statement. But if I look at... You know, you go away to Brighton... I feel like that's a Son game because Son's away form is so good. And then Chelsea at home, you know, you'll sit and then you'll ping them off and Son will just, he'll get them on the counter-attack. Same with the City game. West Brom could be similar. I just feel like Son is a really nice pick for those next few. So, all right, put that to one side. If I sell Salah...
Who'd you get?
Who do I go to? Do I go Rashford, double up for this run that United have got coming up? Or do I double up with Man City and go Sterling for, you know, West Brom, Sheffield United and Burnley? Because I've only got two City.
Yeah, but my view on City is if you're going to double up, you would go double up at the back, surely.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Yes, I think so.
I think that's a strategy with
City. All to be discussed. Stealth Panda, thank you, Kenz, for the super chat. Hey, Kenz, how are we doing? The difference Virg had to the attack, Virgil van Dijk had to the attack, as well as Gomez and Matip has been sorely missed, as well as the defence, in his opinion, as well as Virgil's leadership. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not just a football thing. There's a whole load of emotional leadership, softer benefit to having somebody like Virgil van Dijk at the back, alongside someone like Joe Gomez, who is quick. So, you know, we're able to play that offside trap, that high line. It throws the whole team out. It completely throws the whole team out. And because of that, I think the front three are looking behind them going, we better not make a mistake here, because if we do, we're in trouble. And against a team like Burnley will sit, and that might not be quite such... That's a different sort of challenge. But against Manchester United today, they looked like they didn't want to take risks. I think that was the case. Enough about Liverpool. Manchester United then. Rashford. I was going to say Rashford with the goal, but just because he's on the yellow card here. Rashford with a yellow card. But Luke Shaw, talking about Luke Shaw, my man of the match today... Thought he had Salah in his back pocket, to be fair. Really, really good. And I wonder whether the arrival of Alex Telles has actually made Shaw up his game a little bit.
I don't know, but he's another one, like John Stone.
Looks all right.
Who, at the price point that they are, looks like a good investment for your FPL teams. I think, you know, Manchester United, you look at them and you think, okay, well, there's obviously Maguire, who I think is a really good option for Manchester United because of the headed aerial threat and all of that kind of stuff from set pieces. But still, like Bruno, has the threat of the four yellow cards hanging over his head.
He does, so, yes. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to go and invest in Maguire just yet. You would want him to get booked before you invest in him, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
When he gets booked, he's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, once he gets booked, then you'll be all right for a few weeks. Wan-Biscuit, I can never get back in the biscuit tin, but I could also maybe understand there's a bit of attacking threat potential there from him. But I do agree with what you're saying about Luke Shaw. I think he is looking like his preferred man on that side of the pitch and has been doing a good job.
Doing great. So Man United, absolutely ones to watch. Despite Crystal Palace being top of the fixture ticket, next one down is Manchester United. 3 points clear in the league. Looking pretty good. Talk to me a little bit about Antonio then. So Antonio back on the radar with a double game week. Two really nice fixtures. And of course, West Ham still have a fixture to play. They've got West Brom at home on Tuesday, which looks like a great game, the way that West Brom are playing right now. But Antonio with a single goal to beat a pretty stubborn Burnley side. Three bonus points as well to go with it. It's the welcome return that we were all looking for, wasn't it? And let's have a look at the West Ham fixtures going forward. It's Palace after the double game week, then Liverpool. So who knows what sort of state Liverpool are going to be in. That's a difficult game, Liverpool going to the Olympic Stadium. Then it's Aston Villa, Fulham and Sheffield United. So, of course, I was looking to bring Antonio in for this double game week, but I'm probably going to hold now, you know.
Delighted.
Probably going to hold him.
I'm delighted with Antonio. The only thing I don't like about owning Antonio is that I'm now trebled on West Ham.
Me too. Yeah, and that doesn't feel right.
But
you ain't selling Souček, are you? And Creswell's been great
for you. You're taking a Mixel, Souček.
Souček's staying. Yeah, definitely.
Having a laugh. I think the thing that concerns me about it, do you know what? It's not even owning three West Ham that bothers me, because actually they've been playing quite well. And I think the three that I've got offer really good value for money in the price points that they have. And I'm happy to play them most weeks.
Sure.
My concern about owning all three is COVID, if I'm really brutally honest. I hate owning three players from a team. Simply,
yeah, at least maybe feel a bit exposed
if
the game's called off. Yeah, yeah,
because if I lose West Ham, then I'm down to bare bone. I'm down. That's it. That's the whole bench gone. And that doesn't allow for anyone having a rest, getting injured, and anyone else testing positive for COVID. Even worse, if the West Ham Liverpool game gets called off, then I'm really, you know, absolutely in trouble, because I've got four going. So it worries me a little bit. But Antonio, I thought, had a great game. I thought he was unlucky not to get more than he did.
He's a beast, isn't he, Antonio?
He is. And
that's just such a handful for any defenders. Like, Burnley was a great game for him, because he's just, you know what you're going to get with Burnley. It's going to be physical. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a battle. And he was up for the battle. And so were West Ham. I mean, fair play to them. Great result.
Yeah. And I must admit, I was really pleased with the three of them. Obviously, Creswell got me 8. Antonio got me 9. Souček even with the 3. So you can't really, although I think Souček got booked actually. So you can't really go wrong with those point scores, particularly when you're talking about that price point for the players as well. They're not costing a lot of money. They're good value for money. They're good for entertainment purposes as well. I'm enjoying watching West Ham play at the moment. And I think Antonio has offered a whole nother dimension to the West Ham play. So I'm more than happy to have all three of them.
Okay, all right. So West Ham definitely wants to keep an eye on, in particular, Antonio, if you want a double on West Ham attack. Who thought we'd be saying that at the beginning of the season? Double West Ham attack. Sensational. I don't want to talk too much about Wolves 2, West Brom 3.
We talked about it earlier. Really.
Other than to say, they're a bit of an avoid for me at the minute, Wolves.
Both.
I mean, I know Bolly's got the goal and the assist. So if you're a Willy Bolly owner, fair play. You've got some points despite the clean sheet wipeout, but 1-9 for Wolves. They ain't looking good. It's Chelsea away up next for them, and then Crystal Palace away. So two difficult fixtures. Then Arsenal, Leicester and Southampton. They are a proper avoid for me right now. Let's just finish up on a quick word on Leeds 0, Brighton 1. So here's a result that, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't expecting to see, although by all accounts, didn't watch the game, but by all accounts, Leeds looked proper knackered. They looked a bit washed out. Maybe that murder ball strategy, maybe the high tempo 90 minutes of running around like absolute nutters over Christmas every single game, with, let's face it, a reasonably thin squad, has taken its toll. Now, listen, like, they were missing some key players. Was this the game that Phillips missed? I don't think Phillips played.
And Johnson.
Yeah, so they were obviously missing
a couple
of players.
Oh, not Johnson, Meslier.
Melier, yeah. So there's some players they were missing. But I noticed on FPL Black Box, actually, Az was calling this as a difficult game for Leeds, and he fancied Brighton to get something. I don't think if he was necessarily calling the win, but listen, it's a reasonable win for Brighton. Fulham at home next for Brighton, but I want to talk about Leeds because a lot of FPL managers will be pretty stacked up on Leeds right now because a lot of us were looking at the double game week. We saw the two home fixtures. We thought, well, this looks good. And actually coming out of the double into game weeks 20, 21 and 22 didn't look too bad. Are we now put off by Leeds a little bit? Should we be selling Bamford or is he a hole? No. Is Dallas a hole? What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Leeds, let's be frank, they haven't exactly kept a lot of clean... You don't own a Leeds defender for the clean sheets that they bring, do you? You own Dallas because of the goal threat that he's shown over the last few weeks. They've not exactly kept a lot of clean sheets so far over the course of this season. So it didn't surprise me to see Brighton score in this game, which is why I benched Dallas this week, because I didn't necessarily think that that the clean sheet would be there.
Okay.
I was disappointed with Bamford. We didn't watch this game because we watched Antonio being legendary on the other channel. But I was disappointed in Bamford. But then, particularly as he didn't play. In the cup. Yeah.
Yeah, he was sort of rested, wasn't he?
So he'd had a bit of a break. So I was a bit kind of, oh, that's a bit frustrating. But also equally, you know, as soon as that news broke that they were playing their backup keeper, it's kind of like, that's never great, is it? If your backup keeper's got to come in just before the game because your keeper's missed out through whatever.
A quick comment from the Fantasy Football Club. Thank you for the comment. He's saying it's all right though because Leeds played good football. Now, I noticed there was a bit of this on Twitter over the weekend, and a lot of the commentators in that game, apparently, again, we didn't watch it, but apparently there was a bit like, you know, well, Leeds are losing, but, you know, they're trying and, you know, they're putting in a lot of effort and they're plucky and they're trying to pick passes and stuff. It's like, well, I think the comment is valid. It's that's all well and good, but you lose at home to Brighton. You deserve to get some criticism for that, I'd suggest, the way that Brighton are playing.
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's a bad week for Leeds to have had a bad week because most bench boosters this time around will have...
We're betting on Leeds. Well,
yeah, because, like Mark, a lot of people going in who wildcarded late with the last wildcard...
Mark Southerns.
Yes.
Right.
...will have gone into this period of time quite highly invested in Leeds and Southampton and those sorts of clubs who were offering good value for money. And then, of course, when they both lost their double, which may or may not be lost, it's disappointing as a bench boost because you're kind of in that moment where you've decided that you're going to bench boost. That's why I'm pretty sure there's so many big points hits at the moment because people will have been in the mindset that 19 is their bench boost week. And then it's trying to work last minute to get a bench boost team back up when you lose so many matches. But I think for me, I'm not panicking about my Leeds assets. It's one of them things, isn't it? I think Bamford is still a really, really nice pick.
Okay. We've missed a couple of super chats, Sam. So James Ward, thank you for the super chat. Thoughts on Wood, a swap for Benteke or Silva? So we've got Chris Wood here from Burnley with Villa at home next, then Chelsea, City, Brighton and Palace. So the fixtures for Burnley don't look that great, and we know what you're going to get with Burnley, and that is not a lot of goals.
No.
Would you swap for, goodness me, Benteke or even the young Fabio Silva from Wolves there? We've just spoken about Wolves, despite the goal there for Fabio Silva. Don't think I've seen enough from him yet to suggest that's a good transfer. Crystal Palace have the fixtures, of course, but it's Benteke, right?
Well,
Benteke, it's a hell of a punt.
It is a punt.
Just briefly, what are your thoughts?
I didn't play today. Now, why has he not played today? Is he not playing him today on the basis that he wants to keep him for the next lot of fixtures? Which
quite possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah, quite possibly.
I actually really like Fabio Silva. I've got to be honest.
You like him?
Yeah.
What has he shown you that makes you like him?
I just like him.
Is it just because his name is Fabio Silva and he should be good at football?
No, I do like him. I like him. But
well,
if
they need
going...
something, Wolves. They need somebody. They need somebody to step up.
Can't you just go for Antonio and be done with it?
Is he the same sort of price? I guess he could be. We've had another super chat from Rune Stenson. Thank you, Rune. That's a new name. We've not heard Rune, your name on here before. So welcome to FPL family. Thank you for the super chat. He says, oh, wow, Sam. That feeling when you take a hit to get stones in. But you forget to put him in your team.
Oh,
I sincerely hope Zuma doesn't play on Tuesday. Hashtag hope.
Oh,
rude.
God.
That's a stinker, mate.
And the trouble is, I will brace yourself because I think Zuma will play on Tuesday.
Quite possibly.
Don't miss out on a game to
quite
not
possibly.
Play the next, do you?
That seems to be the Frank Lampard philosophy right now, isn't it? Just put as many big... headed, good headers of a ball in the box. That's possible.
Mate, that would actually make me feel sick to bring in John Stones.
John Stones benched would be a stinker. Let's have a very, very quick chat about Leicester 2, Southampton 0. The much heralded decent Saints defence letting two in against Leicester.
Wait a minute. Here comes a public apology to James Justin. I am sorry.
Yeah, he'd done all right for you this week, didn't he?
I will never again...
Very nice.
Threatened to evict you.
Very nice. With Everton away, Leeds at home and Fulham away, and then, of course, Wolves, who we've just mentioned, struggling for goals in more recent times, up next. Leicester, second in the league, absolutely mixing it up in the league table, no doubt about it. And all of a sudden, some of their midfielders are coming to the fore. Mm. Now, if you don't fancy Jamie Vardy, because, of course, he is the FPL go-to a lot of
and
the time.
And did limp off?
Did limp off at the end. We're waiting to hear what the extent of that is, because it feels like Vardy limps off at the end of every game, frankly, at the minute, because
like
he's managing this.
It's his hippy, groiny. I don't know, it's top of his leg somewhere.
But anyway, Vardy, inverted commas, injured or whatever. But nevertheless, Maddison and Barnes, and then two assists for Tielemans. So all of a sudden, are we back to where we were last year with picking one of these Leicester midfielders in our midfield?
Maybe.
How could I drop Salah down to one of them?
What?
Well, we've talked about, we said before about Salah out, and I'm very much in that camp right now, the way that we're playing. Where do I go for my midfield? Maybe, it's James Maddison or Harvey Barnes.
I could definitely get on board with James Maddison, but the thing is, I think if Vardy's not there, that's a real problem at Leicester. So I think before you did anything that involved investing in the Leicester midfield, you would want to be fairly certain that Jamie Vardy is going to be starting, because we saw last season that if Vardy's injured, they're not as good.
Right, okay.
Is my view.
Any word on Saints?
Don't panic.
Arsenal and Aston Villa at home next, followed by away games at Man United and Newcastle. So, hold. Unless it's Che Adams, then it's Sal, surely.
Yeah, I think Danny Ings is a big miss again, isn't he? Because he's got COVID, of course.
Yeah.
So we'll be back, but again, we don't know the long-term effect, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I think if you're in the defence, then it's fine to keep them. I am slightly wavering on the double defence because the fixtures aren't great. So do I really need both? And can I just have John Stones instead of Kyle Walker-Peters? Well, yes, absolutely, I could.
Okay.
So maybe.
All right, very good. So there is the games as it stands, guys. So that is our checkpoint there for double game week 19. Lots and lots of games still to go.
Oh, look at that. It's like a whole other fixture list.
I was going to say it's every day. Every day other than Friday next week, there are still games. So it's Arsenal-Newcastle on Monday, a couple of games Tuesday, Wednesday, Liverpool again on Thursday, Aston Villa with that weird game that come out of nowhere because, frankly, they've got to play some games somewhere. Aston Villa and Newcastle on Saturday, which I think is the same day that a lot of the FA Cup fourth round ties are going on. Because both of those teams are out the cup, so that's where they've shoved that fixture. Absolutely random.
It's just the longest game week I've ever known.
It's random, isn't it? It's
a
really
week.
Random.
A whole week.
And then what we will have is the following Tuesday. Am I right in saying that? So it's FA Cup next weekend. And then the next Tuesday, we're back into another cycle of midweek games, aren't we?
Yeah, so we've obviously got a little bit of time, and we'll obviously be live streaming next Sunday to talk about game week 20 in terms of like a preview.
Because by then 19 will be done, right?
Yes, and a lot of the FA Cup will be done as well. So we should know any injuries, major issues that come out of the FA Cup, of course. So going into game week 20, we'll have a bit of time, but it's another quick turnaround of transfers. So I think start thinking about game week 20 even now. Like we're both thinking about, you know, where might our transfers go and who might they be, but be flexible with it because obviously there's a lot of games still to go in game week 19 and there's a whole round of FA Cup fixtures and that will affect your decisions. It's bound to, and there's bound to be shock COVID players going. We already had a couple of keepers this week.
Calm, isn't it?
Had a couple of keepers go already, it, yeah. So you know, we just need to be aware of it.
Okay, well there we go. So plenty going on over the next week or so. Any shows or podcasts that you're going to be on this week?
There will be, for those of you that caught the last one, I had some mic issues, but we did our first Scout the Game Week.
Oh, very good. Listen to that. Yeah, you and Ted.
With me and Ted. Next Thursday afternoon, there will be another one. It will be with the lovely FPL in Freya. And yes, that'll be out late on Thursday, just before the final game of this game week. And we'll kind of start looking ahead to game week 20. So that will be then. I've also got a pundit article out this week. I think
busy,
that's the back end
busy
of the
week again.
And then next week, we've got two FPL. So we got FPL show next Monday, and then I'm back on again on Thursday.
Two FPL shows. So we will both be on the a week Monday, so a week tomorrow, where I absolutely guarantee I will say everything that I'm going to be doing with my team and will not pull the ball over anybody's eyes. And there is loads going on, as usual, loads going
on.
Will
you rip it out of tips for holding again, or will you be nice?
No, I'll be nice. I'll be nice, because that is the one thing that I'm going to leave you with, guys, is that no matter what goes on in the fantasy football community, be nice, be kind to each other, and everyone will get on absolutely fine. A quick super chat before we go. Dalbert Shang, let's just say it's Dalbert, thank you for the super chat. Hey FPL family, 90 points minus 8 with 13 players to play. Thank you for all your advice on Patreon. Yes, Dalbert, thank you very much.
We didn't even do an update on our teams,
being
did we?
A patron. Oh, we didn't do it. Yeah, we didn't. We didn't. Do you want to do
Can
that?
Just do a quick one before
go on then.
We go.
What are we doing? Very, very quickly.
You go first, or am I?
Well, I'm on the screen right now.
Go on,
I've
then.
Got
you go
a
first.
Score of 59, which is a small green arrow up to 85k. Fine. It's not too bad. It's not great, but it's not too bad. I've got De Bruyne on 21 because I think he got 7, so that's okay as a start for 10 on that. Elsewhere, it's not a lot to discuss, to be honest with you. Antonio with the 9 is fine. Son with the assist and 5 is okay. Cancelo with the 1 is obviously disappointing. Robertson and Koufal with the 6 either side is also fine. But again, I'm not picking up a lot of bonus points, which is, I think, the difference between my side and your side this week, is that actually you've got a couple of defenders in your side that have picked up some decent bonus points as well, right?
All three of them.
All three.
Justin with 8, Diaz with 11, Creswell with 8.
Very nice indeed. So
happy,
what's your score that you're
days.
In right now?
64 so far.
64, brilliant.
Gives me a 20k green arrow up to 41k, which, to be honest, I'm thrilled about, because on a week where I've not bench boosted and I've not triple captained, the fact that I'm still there in my head... If I'd taken a 50k rank drop this week, that was okay.
Okay.
So the fact that I'm still green at the moment, I'm taking it. We're going again.
Yeah.
I think I've got six. I think I've got
plenty of double game week is still left to go.
I think I've got 7 to go again. So, you know, the repeat again, please, for the guys that have done stuff. And if Kevin could stay quiet, then, you know.
So what's your overall rank right now? 30?
No, so at one point today I was at 26k, but Kevin and Sterling have put me back down to 41. But
41
that's still a 20k rank.
Not bad
rise,
at all. Not
good.
Bad at all. Jacob 17, Lee, we can't see it. That is because, mate, I haven't done a slide for it. We were going to do the watch along with Man City, so we're just talking.
We'll
you
post
through
them on socials.
Our teams, but we will post them on socials. That's it for FPL Family tonight, guys. Well done in the first half of Double Game Week 19. We'll be back this time next week, Sunday 8:30 p.m. right here on the channel for a full review of the second half of Double Game Week 19. We'll know whether the triple captain in Kevin's paid off. Hopefully, Cancelo can finally deliver on that expected assist statistic. And Sam will be in the top 10K. I'm absolutely sure of it. I'm
well, no
sure
chip. If I make it into the top 10K with no chip, quite frankly...
It'll be a miracle. Guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit subscribe if you're new around here. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for everyone that sent me a message over the weekend. It really is much appreciated. Be nice, be kind to each other, and we'll see you this time next week for a full rundown of Double Game Week 19 in full. See you guys. Cheers.
Green arrows.